Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 18th chapter. And in the last class, we read up through verse 9. So we'll read 10, 18, verses 10 to 16 in this second class. So I'll sing verse 10. Krishnasya nich yata kechi jago kechi ravarim venupani talai shingai pishashangsha atapare. As Krishna danced, some of the boys accompanied him by singing, and others by playing flutes, hand cymbals, and buffalo horns, while still others praised his dancing. So what do you remember from the last class? Yes. Do you raise your hand?
But it's summer in Vrindavan, looks like.
Summer in Vrindavan is just like spring.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The waters, the waves of the river, the moist soil, so there's no.
Right.
There's everything is growing. Hmm.
Right.
The wind is there.
Hmm.
Just carries the aroma. The sound is there.
Right. Sound of the waterfalls. It carries the aroma. It also, fine spray is coming from the waterfalls. Anything else? Yes?
And have you ever had the Vrajabasi, they rose up because of the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet?
Yes, they smell the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet and they all regain their consciousness. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah? Yeah, they weren't afraid of forest fire, they were afraid of separation from Krishna. Krishna Sarupini? Right, he wants to go out and play with his boyfriends. Of course, Nanda and Yashoda would love to keep him in the house, but no, he must go out. Yes?
After the Kali Lila, everyone got tired and they didn't want to go to the villages to be with Krishna.
Right.
And what happened was that the forest fire, later on, the forest started to burn.
Right.
And that may be the cause, maybe Kali's friends.
Yeah.
Where Kamsa.
Kamsa's sent him.
Or it is just that the Krishna himself caused him to facilitate his own pastime with exchanging the rasas with devotees. And he might swallow.
Yes. Did he swallow it or did he not swallow it?
Maybe. He put the fire to his place in his mouth. Maybe expanded and somehow opulence and swallow the fire. Maybe it was not him, but the
Sanharika
Shakti.
Yeah.
Or maybe he just turned off
he just turned off the fire. Because he's a Jagadishra. Jagadishra, he can turn off the fire.
But the point here was that residents of Vrindavan, they took shelter of Krishna. They said, he is blessed, he is fortunate.
He is fortunate, Mahabhaga.
Yeah.
Yes.
And therefore, certainly, if we take shelter of him, the higher force will protect us.
Yes, yes. Surely, he will be empowered by God to protect us. Yes? Yes. Yeah, they were saying, Krishna, save us, because they were afraid of separation, not of death. Not afraid of death. Yes.
And this first forest fire swallowing of first for manifest the anarthas of hatred between Vaishnavas, so some misunderstanding between Vaishnava sectarianism, and also disrespecting each other's deities.
Deities, right.
Vaishnava culture.
Yes, okay. Anything else from, yes?
At the beginning of first class, we heard first class explanation that the devotees are so connected to Krishna that when something is happening with
Krishna, then they faint.
They feel very bad.
Yeah, they're so connected that then they're more upset than about for their own welfare. They only have this love for Krishna more than their own selves, more than their own. Yes.
Krishna swallowed the fire because. Power of destruction and also with Agni.
Agni, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, many, many ways of looking at what happened in this forest fire and the swallowing. Yes.
And also, in different seasons, there are different pastimes.
Right, right.
In summer, there are water sports.
Water sports. We'll find out some more pastimes in summer, too. And one of the very special pastimes in summer is swinging. Mm. They like to swing in the summer. Also, yeah, swinging in the tree, you get a breeze there, you know, when you swing. Yes?
There is so many features of using spring season in summer season.
Right.
It indicates that there is not any suffering in Vrindavana. When right. Krishna is present, no any suffering can be filled by Vrindavana.
Right. No suffering in the presence of Krishna. Time or place cannot bring any suffering. It may be the hottest time of the year, hottest day of the year, and it will not cause any suffering to the residents of Vrindavan.
And even as one shloka, summer indicates by in Sanskrit like Grishma. It means Grishma is very heavy, but actually Nama, only by the name it's heavy, but
yeah.
Vrindavan it's not at all heavy because
right.
It's features of springtime.
Right. So we must all go to that Vrindavan or see that Vrindavan.
Yes.
If we cannot see it in this life, then we should go in next life or some life and be with Krishna in that Vrindavan. Okay, so verse 11, O King, demigods disguise themselves as members of the cowherd community, and just as dramatic dancers praise another dancer, worship Krishna and Balaram, who are also appearing as cowherd boys. So now we find out some of the cowherd boys are demigods. There, before we heard they were sages, they were sadhakas who were coming, and some are nitya siddhas. And some of them are demigods also, just coming to be a part of the pastime.
Some of them are demons.
Yes. We're going to find out in this chapter that one of them is a demon, Pralambasura, appearing as a cowherd boy. Not some, just one. One tried to make it, but he will fail miserably, as we will hear Bharijan tell the story. So according to Krishna book, Prabhupada describes how Krishna and Balaram looked at this point in time. That neither Krishna, up to that time, neither Balaram or Krishna had undergone the hair cutting ceremony. Therefore their hair was clustered like crow's feathers. They were always playing hide and seek with their boyfriends or jumping or fighting with them. Yeah, I know. If you try to take a bunch of boys somewhere, small young boys, there's no way they can go in a straight line. I used to take the Gurukul boys out to Madhuvan at one place and play, and you know, you in the line, you know, but somebody's always stopping to pick up something, another boy's doing this, another boy's doing that. So it's like, really, the cowherd boys are like that, you know, they're very mischievous and they'll stop and they'll do all kinds of things on the way to the forest, play, dance. And so this is what's going on. And they're going to the forest at the same time. They're having fun. They're having lots of fun. So, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Shiva, Narada, and other demigods disguise themselves as cowherd boys.
to taste the nectar of Krishna's pastimes. Shiva and Narada. Yes. So that means that these other cowherd boys are not ordinary. They're not ordinary boys. If the demigods want to come and play with them, then you got to understand what kind of boys these are. And of course, Krishna is the main one, and they want to be with Krishna.
This means that sometimes the demigods, they jump in and they go back.
No, they stick. They're there the whole time. Yeah. Just means that Shukadeva is revealing to us the identities of some of the cowherd boys here. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I mean, is that just my understanding? Yes. Well, he's the best of the. He's what is he called? Devarshi. He's a rishi among the demigods. Deva Rishi. So he's not an official demigod, but he's a rishi amongst the demigods. So, yeah, he's counted among the demigods, but he's a rishi. Devarshi is Narada. He's not in charge of any particular department, but he goes between one and the other, and one person and another traveling around. What, Devarshi? I believe, yes, it's in Bhagavad Gita. I know it's in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says, "Of the rishis of the demigods, I am Narada."
But how does that relate to this? That is
from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Shiva and Narada came as cowherd boys. She asked me about the demigod. Why is he considered amongst the demigods? That was the question.
Oh, I see.
Okay, verse 12. Krishna and Balaram play with their cowherd boyfriends by whirling about, leaping, hurling, slapping, and fighting. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram would pull the hair on the boys' heads. And boys will be boys. So, purport, the acharyas have explained this verse as follows. The word Brahmanai indicates that the boys, pretending they were machines, would sometimes whirl about until they became dizzy. They would also sometimes jump about, Longkanai. The word Kshepai indicates sometimes they would hurl objects like balls or stones, and sometimes they would grab each other by the arms and throw one another about. Asfotana means sometimes they would slap one another's shoulders or backs, and Vikarshana indicates they would drag one another about in the midst of their play. By the word Niyudhena, arm wrestling and other types of friendly fighting are indicated. And the word Kakapakshataro means Krishna and Balaram would sometimes grab the hair on the other boys' heads in a playful manner. So this is boys. This is the nature of boys. They like to fight like that, and they like to play in this way. And Jiva Goswami says, Yudha Vira Rasa, chivalrous activities in fighting, is being demonstrated here in relation to Krishna. In this rasa, the person who fights Krishna is full of love. Yudha Vira Rasa.
Yudha,
fighting. Vira, heroic. Impelled by love for Krishna, he's eager to fight him. So Jiva Goswami says, the opponent may be an enemy fighting Krishna in a pastime battle, or the opponent may be a friend standing before Krishna. The first kind of opponent, the enemy, takes Krishna as his enemy and, impelled by spiritual love, is eager to fight with him. So that's Jai Vijay, who three lives were fighting with Krishna. The second kind of opponent is a friend, and his battle with Krishna is like a joke or a game. So that's what we are hearing about now. Yudha Vira Rasa, it's like a joke or a game. Let's fight. It's not serious. So, in this sense, the yudha ras becomes like hasya ras. There's a lot of joking going on, and there's a lot of, you know, pretending to be big. But love for Krishna is the alamban. Alamban is not desire to fight. The two fighters, Krishna and devotee, are two friends. Each thinks of the other as a friend. In the rasa, the udipans means the impetus are the smiles and gestures manifest in battle. Anubhavas are boasts. Boasting, insults, and other words hurled in the heat of battle. So these are different things going on, different ecstasies. The Vyabhacharis are pride, agitation, and other sentiments. Staibhav is eagerness to fight, and eagerness born of friendship. So now there are three kinds of opponents: Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna's friend, and Krishna's enemy. So there's three kinds of fighters here who are in this Yudhavira Rasa. And this is described in verse 12, Yudhavira Rasa. What's going on in that? What do they do in that? Leaping, hurling, slapping, fighting, pulling hair on the head. This is going on in Yudhavira Rasa. And Jiva Goswami says, Krishna and Balaram were pulling the hair in the top knots. The boys had little top knots, so they were pulling out their top knots there. And so this is friendly fighting. Verse 13, even Krishna and Arjuna used to do that. And they would fight like that when Krishna went to Hastinapur. Verse 13, while the other boys were dancing, O king, Krishna and Balaram would sometimes accompany them with song and instrumental music. And sometimes the two lords would praise the boys, saying, very good, very good. So they come out there with instruments, and we heard what they were. They were playing horns, buffalo horns, and kartals, flutes. So they had their instruments with them, and they would go out to the forest. And Krishna would appreciate their music, and he would say, very good, very good, very nice. Sadhu, sadhu. So according to, and there's another quote in the 12th chapter, we read that hundreds and thousands of cowherd boys would come out and join Krishna, keeping before them hundreds and thousands of calves. This was before, and they all had calves. So they all had, now they were grown-up cows, and the boys were a little bit bigger in Paugunda age. So let's see what else about Sakyabhav. Udipans, what are the stimulus for friendship of Krishna? Amongst these are included the following transcendental qualities. This is again Jiva Goswami. Loving friendship, straightforwardness, gratitude, intelligence, learning, glory, expert skill, heroism, strength, tolerance, mercy, and giving delight to the people. So these are some of these qualities of Sakyabhav. Also included are youthful handsomeness, all auspicious bodily features, and other qualities. And now for the Suhrit friends, the qualities beginning with straightforwardness are prominent. For the Sakhas, qualities beginning with handsomeness and skill are prominent. For the Mitras, the qualities beginning with straightforwardness, all of them are included, handsomeness and skill. So these are different categories of friends. We'll hear more about different categories a little bit later. So verse 14, previously we heard how the boys were dedicated to Krishna, and in verse 13 we're showing how Krishna was dedicated to the boys, how he was appreciating them and glorifying them. So verse 14, sometimes the cowherd boys would play with bilva or kumbha fruits, and sometimes with handfuls of amalaka fruits. At other times they would play the games of trying to touch one another or of trying to identify somebody while one is blindfolded. Sometimes they would imitate animals and birds. So Sanatana Goswami purport explains the word adhyay. By other such sports indicates such games as chasing one another and building bridges. Another pastime would occur at noon, while Lord Krishna was taking rest. Nearby, the young cowherd girls would be passing by, singing, and Krishna's boyfriends would pretend to inquire from them about the price of milk. So they were also having these pastimes now in Paugunda. That Dana, what is that called? Dana Keli, or that place at Govardhan, right where you begin, the toll place. Then the boys would steal yogurt and other items from them and run away. Krishna, Balaram, and their friends would also play games in which they would cross the river in boats. Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur further explains, the boys would play with fruits by throwing a few in the air and throwing others to try to hit them. Now, this is a village game. It's even now going on in villages. Sometimes they'll throw things, they throw stones in the trees to get the fruits down, or else they'll throw things up in the air and then throw another one to to hit that. The word netrabandha indicates a game in which one boy would approach a blindfolded boy from behind and place his palms over the blindfolded boy's eyes. And simply by the feel of his palms, the blindfolded boy would have to guess who the other boy was. Well, that's hard. Just, you'd have to see through, you'd have to feel his hands through the blindfold and say, okay, this is so-and-so. In all such games, the boys put up stakes for the winner, such as flutes or walking sticks. Sometimes, so they were gambling up there. We don't gamble, but Krishna and his boyfriends would have that. They would put up stakes who would win the games. Sometimes the boys would imitate the various fighting methods of the forest animals, and at other times they would chirp like birds. Okay, 15. They would sometimes jump around like frogs, sometimes play various jokes, sometimes ride in swings, and sometimes imitate monarchs. Purport. Shri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains the word nripa chestaya as follows. In Vrindavan, there was a particular place on the riverbank where people who wanted to cross the Jamuna would pay a small tax. At times, the cowherd boys would assemble in this area and prevent the young girls of Vrindavan from crossing the river, insisting they had to pay a customs duty first. Such activities were full of joking and laughter. So I'll read a little bit more about that. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, from Shravana Shukla Tritiya, third day of the waxing moon of Shravan, the cowherd boys would play on swings. So that's when we have our Julan also, I think, in Shravan, the month of Shravan. They would play on swings. So let's see. I'll read some quotes from Nectar of Devotion about Sakya Ras, but also how certain of his friends would be helping him in his pastimes with the young gopis. And this is a certain type of friend. But also Madhu Mangala, he was an intimate friend coming from the Brahmin community. So one day he said to Krishna, my dear friend, I can see you're not aware of the peacock feathers falling on the ground, and you're unmindful of the flower garlands offered to you. I think I can guess the reason for your absent-mindedness when I see your two eyes flying over to the eyes of Srimati Radharani, just like black drones flying to lotus flowers. So this is an instance of argumentative suggestion and an ecstatic love. So who are these confidential friends? They are called Priya Sakas. They're almost Krishna's age, and because of their very confidential friendship, their behavior is only on the basis of pure friendship. And other friends is on the grounds of paternal or servitude. So there's three kinds of Sakas. This is Nectar of Devotion, again, chapter 43. The three kinds, and there's Sakas, Priya Sakha, and Priya Narma Sakha. So Priya Sakha's almost Krishna's age. Other ones, they're older, so they have a mixture of Vatsalya, and the younger ones have a mixture of servitude or Dasya. The ones that were his age, they were like pure Sakya, pure Priya Sakhas. So who are these confidential friends? Sri Dhamma, Sudama, Dhamma, Vasudama, Kinkani, Stoka Krishna, Amshu, Pajasena, Vilasi, Pundarik, Vitanka, and Kala, Vinka. By their various activities and different pastimes, all these friends used to give transcendental pleasure to Krishna. And how did they behave? A friend of Radharani was telling Radharani, just see, your intimate friend Krishna is served by his intimate boyfriends. Some of them joke with him in mild voices and please him very much by this. Just like Madhu Mangal, he would joke by playing the part of a greedy Brahmin. We already heard about his pastimes where he tried to save his prasad unsuccessfully from the other cowherd boys, stealing his prasad. Whenever the friends ate, Madhu Mangal would eat more than all the others, especially laddus, of which he was very fond. Then after eating more laddus than anyone, he would still not be satisfied, and he would say to Krishna, if you give me one more laddu, I'll give you my blessing so your friend Radharani will be pleased with you. So Krishna was very happy by his friend's blessings, and he would supply him with more and more laddus. And so this is Madhu Mangal was the Brahmin. He would give blessings, but he would also be a greedy Brahmin and eat lots of laddus. So these things are going on during their pastimes. Sometimes a confidential friend would come to Krishna and embrace him with great affection and love. Another friend would then come up from the rear and cover Krishna's eyes with his hands. Krishna would always feel very happy with such dealings with his confidential friends. Out of all these confidential friends, Sridhama is the chief. He used to wear a yellow-colored dress, carry a buffalo horn. His turban was red, reddish copper color. His bodily complexion was blackish, and around his neck there was a nice garland. He would always challenge Krishna in joking friendship. Let us pray to Sridhama to bestow his mercy upon us. So who is Sridhama? Brother of Srimati Radharani. He's got a blackish complexion, like Krishna. Sometimes Sridhama used to address Krishna, "Oh, you're so cruel. You left us alone on the bank of the Jamuna, and we were all mad from not seeing you there. Now it's our great fortune. We're able to see you here. If you want to pacify us, you must embrace each one of us with your arms. But believe me, my dear friend, a moment's absence from you creates great havoc, not only for us, but for the cows also. Everything becomes disarranged and we become mad after you." But sometimes Krishna disappears and goes off with his gopis. So the coward boys are just like completely mad and in anxiety and while Krishna is gone. Now, there are still friends who are more confidential, other friends. They are called Priyanarma, intimate friends. Counted among the Priyanarma friends are Subal, Arjun, Gandharva, Vasant, and Ujjala. There was talk among the friends of Radharani, the gopis, about these most intimate friends. One gopi addressed Radharani, saying, "My dear Kishangi, just see how Subal is whispering your message into Krishna's ear. How he's delivering the confidential letter Shyamadasi silently into Krishna's hand." So with his tongue, he's saying, he's giving a message from Radharani. With his one hand, he's giving a letter from another one. How he's delivering the betel nuts prepared by Palika into his mouth. So he's, in his ear he's giving one thing, in his mouth he's giving another, and his hand is, all different gopis are giving, "Can you give this message to Krishna?" And so Subal is there and he's doing this. And he's decorating Krishna with a garland prepared by Taraka. So all these different, this is what his confidential friends do. Did you know that all these most intimate friends of Krishna are always engaged in his service in this way? So the two most prominent are Subal and Ujjala. These two.
They are more prominent than Sridhama.
Yeah, these are Priyanarma Sakas.
Is it Indra?
These are, no.
Same age?
Like, yeah, it must be. Subal's body is discussed. This is Nectar Devotion, chapter 43. All this is what I'm reading now. It's all from Nectar of Devotion. Subal's body is described as follows. His complexion is just like molten gold. You know, you think of that pastime with him, right? Where he exchanged with Radharani?
Yes.
Yeah. Exchange. Huh?
What kind of stuff?
Sakya, Priyanarma. Priyanarma. Very, very dear. Priyanarma Sakha. He has a garland always around his neck, wears yellow clothing, his eyes are like lotus flower petals. He's so intelligent by his talking and moral instructions. All the other friends take the highest pleasure. Let us all offer our respectful obeisances unto Krishna's friend Subal. The degree of intimacy shared by Krishna and Subal can be understood by the fact the talks between them were so confidential no one else could understand what they were saying. So Subal and Krishna are very tight, very close. Now Ujjala wears some garment of orange color, and the movements of his eyes are always very restless. He likes to decorate himself with all kinds of flowers. His bodily hue is almost like Krishna's, and on his neck there is always a necklace of pearls. He's always very dear to Krishna. Let us all worship Ujjala, most intimate friend of Krishna. About the confidential service of Ujjala, Radharani was telling her friends, "My dear friend, it's impossible for me to keep my prestige. I wanted to avoid talking to Krishna anymore. But just see, there again is his friend Ujjala coming to me with his canvassing work. His entreaties are so powerful, it is very difficult for a gopi to resist her love for Krishna, even though she may be very bashful, devoted to her family duties, and was faithful to her husband." And so Ujjala, this is Ujjala. "My dear Krishna, you have extended your loving affairs," he's speaking,
So much you can be compared to the great ocean, which is without limitation. At the same time, young girls of the world, who are all searching after the perfect lover, have become just like rivers running into this ocean. Under the circumstance, all these rivers of young girls may try to divert their courses to some other place, but at the end, they must come unto you. So this is Ujjala, most confidential. Now, Nectar Devotion says, among the groups of different friends of Krishna, some are well known from various scriptures, and some are well known by popular tradition. There are three divisions among Krishna's friends. Some are eternally in friendship, that's the Nityasiddhas. Some are elevated demigods, and some are perfected devotees. So three different types. In all of these groups, there are some who are by nature fixed in Krishna service. Some are always engaged in giving counsel. So we've got, in all these groups, we have the all three, like the elder, the younger, and the equals in all of the three groups of cowherd boys. Even those who are perfected devotees may become priyanarma, sakas, or in that group. Some are giving counsel, some are fond of joking, causing Krishna to smile. Some are by nature very simple, and by their simplicity they please Lord Krishna. Some of them create wonderful situations by their activities, apparently against Krishna. Some of them are very talkative, always arguing with Krishna and creating a debating atmosphere. And some of them are very gentle and give pleasure to Krishna by their sweet words. All of these friends are very intimate with Krishna, and they show expertise in their different activities, their aim always being to please Krishna. So then, Nectar Devotion, it gives a description of Krishna at this point in time, at the end of Krishna's Paugandha age. Krishna's hair sometimes hangs down to his hips, and something very long hair. Sometimes it becomes scattered. In this age, his two shoulders become higher and broader, and his face is always decorated with marks of tilak. When his beautiful hair scatters over his shoulders, it appears to be a goddess of fortune embracing him. And this embracing is highly relished by his friends. Subal once addressed him in this way, "My dear Keshava, your round turban, the lotus flower in your hand, the vertical marks of tilak on your forehead, your kumkum-flavored musk, and all of your beautiful bodily features are defeating me today. Although I am usually stronger than you or any of our friends, since this is so, I don't know how these features of your body can fail to defeat the pride of all the young girls of Vrindavan. When I'm so defeated by the beauty, what chance is there for those who are naturally very simple and flexible?" Kaishora age. Kaishora age is the age that devotees generally most appreciate Krishna. He's with Radharani, Kishore, Kishori, and he doesn't increase his age beyond that, although he's the oldest personality. Battlefield of Kurukshetra, he had grandsons, great-grandsons, but he looked very, very young. Kishore. So one cowherd boyfriend said, "Krishna, you need not decorate your body with so many ornaments. Your transcendental features are themselves so beautiful, you don't require any ornaments." At this age, whenever Krishna begins to vibrate his flute early in the morning, all his friends immediately get up from bed just to join him in going to the pasturing grounds. Once he dressed himself up just like Radharani to create fun amongst his friends. He put on golden earrings, and because he was blackish, he smeared the pulp of kumkum all over his body to become as fair as she was. By seeing this dress, Krishna's friend Subal became very astonished. So then it talks about more of the games: fighting, wrestling, playing ball, playing chess, carrying one another on their shoulders, whirling logs, sitting together on couches or swings, lying together in beds, joking together, swimming. These are all called anubhav. And as soon as they got together, they would all do these things, especially dancing together. So then regarding wrestling, one friend asked Krishna, "My dear friend, you are very proudly wandering among your friends, trying to exhibit your arms as very strong. Is it you are envious of me? I know you cannot defeat me in wrestling, and I know you are sitting idly for a long time because you are hopeless of defeating me." Mm-hmm. So these are some of the words they use. All of the friends were very daring and would risk any difficulty because they were confident that Krishna would help them to be victorious in all adventures. They used to sit together and advise one another what to do, sometimes inducing one another to be engaged in welfare work. Sometimes they would offer betel nuts to one another, decorate one another's faces with tilak, or smear a puff of chandan on one another's bodies. Sometimes, for the sake of amusement, they used to decorate their faces in strange ways. Now the boys do that on computer. They take Photoshop and they stretch the face one way, and it's all virtual reality instead of actual reality. They would, yeah. Another business of the friends was that each of them wanted to defeat Krishna. Sometimes they used to snatch his clothing or snatch away the flowers from his hands. Sometimes one would try to induce another to decorate his body for him, and fighting this, they were always ready to fight, challenging one another to combat and wrestling. These are some of the general activities of Krishna and his friends. Another important pastime of the friends of Krishna, they served as messengers to and from the gopis. They introduced the gopis to Krishna and canvassed for Krishna. That was Ujjala. When the gopis disagreed with Krishna, these friends would support Krishna's side in his presence. But when Krishna was not present, they would support the side of the gopis. Yes, you're right. In this way, sometimes supporting one side, sometimes the other, they would talk very privately with much whispering in the ears, although none of the business was very serious. Now, what do the servants do? They were sometimes engaged in collecting flowers, decorating his body with valuable ornaments, dancing for him, singing, helping him herd the cows, massaging his body, preparing flower garlands, and sometimes fanning his body. These are the primary duties of the servants. Friends and servants were combined together in serving him, and all of their activities are known as anubhav. Okay, so these are some of the activities. We'll go to verse 16, the last verse for today. In this way, Krishna and Balaram played all sorts of well-known games as they wandered among the rivers, hills, valleys, bushes, trees, and lakes of Vrindavan. Krishna book says some more games. They played a catching ball with fruits like bale and amalak, blind man's bluff, challenging and touching one another. Sometimes they imitated the forest deer and various kinds of birds. They joked with one another by imitating croaking frogs, and they enjoyed swinging underneath the trees. Sometimes they would play amongst themselves like a king and his subjects. In this way, Balaram and Krishna, along with all their friends, played all kinds of sports and enjoyed the soothing atmosphere of Vrindavan, full of rivers, lakes, rivulets, fine trees, and excellent gardens filled with fruits and flowers. Now, Sanatana Goswami says that all the games that we know in the world, as well as many games that we know, they played all of them. Whatever games that children play in this world, Krishna and Balaram played all those games. And that's where they all came from. Originally, it was Krishna playing those games with his friends. So we cannot mention all of them by name. So they went to many forests, Vrindavan, and other forests, Kananeshu, like Kamyavan. We know what is there in Kamyavan. There's a slide where they used to slide down. And the slide is still there, the stone that was made into a slide for Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends. You can go and slide down the slide, the same slide that Krishna used to slide down. So, what else? Oh, yeah. Okay, here's a... Oh, this is from Vishnu Parva of Hari Vamsa. The two of them were tending the grown-up cows and seeing the forest overgrown with luxuriant, auspicious grass. They would make murmuring sounds, sing loudly, pull fruits from the trees, call to the cows and calves, addressing them by name, and they would appear very beautiful with feathering ropes hanging from their shoulders. The chests of both Krishna and Balaram were crowded with flower garlands. They were the crown ornament of youthful boyhood. Golden powder, collyrium, shone in their eyes, and they were both dressed similarly, just as two clouds, one black and the other white, which have been struck by the weapon of Indra. They wore attractive ornaments on their ears, composed of the tips of kusha, stalks, and flowers. While traveling along the pass, they also took many other things from the forest. So I'd like to read to you about one very special thing of Krishna, which he carries every day with him, and that is his rope for tying up the cows. The rope is very, very special. It's called Niryoga Pasha. And Before we read about the rope, we'll read a little bit about the cowherd boys. The gopas did not fear the threats of the demons as much as they trembled at the peril of Sri Krishna's separation. To mitigate this catastrophe, Sri Krishna remained hidden in their hearts. Gop. So gop also means hidden in the heart, and appeared via remembrance of his many pastimes known as bhava vilas. When the remembrance of Gopal did not satisfy them, he bestowed full mercy upon his friends, Anukampanam, and destroyed the evils of his separation by appearing before them, twirling a lotus flower in his hand and smiling charmingly. Thus Hari always protected his friends from the suffering born of his separation. So that was only one type of suffering that the cowherd boys were experiencing, is that separation from Krishna. And so he would come back. He would go and he would come. Now the ropes, Niryoga Pash, are made of yellow cloth, have a decorative cluster of pearls at both ends, which gives them a special beauty. Taking these ropes, the boys bind them in their turbans and create an extraordinary ornament, which bewilders the minds of the gopis, and indeed the minds of all living entities. There is great jubilation in the minds of everyone as they behold the wonderful dress of Krishna, Adbhuta Rama Vesh, which has reached the summit of wonder in the presence of the Niryoga Pash. So the Niryoga Pash is a sign of Krishna's ultimate pastime, binding his devotees with the ropes of love. The Yoga Pash is the insignia, this is a rope, of Krishna's intent for all living entities, moving or non-moving, conditioned or liberated. So next time you see the ropes in the hands of Krishna Balaram in the temple, meditate. As he ties up the cows to take their milk, Sri Krishna desires to tie down his devotees with his love. As he milks the cows, Krishna desires to extract the loving devotion of his bhaktas. And as milk is the staple of the cowherd community, prema bhakti is the only means of sustenance for Rasika Shekhar, insatiable connoisseur of loving exchanges. So he has these ropes, he ties up the cows. So he wants to tie us up with his love. He takes out the milk, he wants to extract our love. And when he and milk is the staple, it's the most important thing of the cowherd community, so prema bhakti is what Krishna is looking for. He wants to drink that from us also. The word niryoga means to tie tightly. When the gopis and creatures of Raj see this rope, they understand Sri Krishna's desire to be always engaged in intense loving pastimes. Now listen carefully. There's two ways you see the rope, up in his turban or loose in his hands. Now when it's up in his turban, it indicates he has achieved success in firmly binding a devotee to his heart. He's got somebody. If it's up in his turban, it means he succeeded in catching somebody. And when the rope is in his hand or loosely on his shoulder, he is hunting for some fortunate soul upon whom he will throw his noose of love and entice him into its wonderful network. So if it's loose, it means Krishna is searching for someone to tie up. So it may be you. It may be one of us. If Krishna's got his holding his rope loosely, or if it's just on his shoulder, it means he's out hunting for some fortunate soul to capture him and take him back to Godhead. And if it's tied up, that means, oh, he got someone. It's up in his turban. So we'll see what else it is said. A few more things here. When they see Krishna's, now all the devotees in Braj know this. So the gopis are seeing, oh, when they see Krishna's intent by the use of his Niryoga Pash, the living entities of Braj experience manifestations of love, falling unconscious, crying, trembling, and horripilation. So they see, they look at the ropes when they see Krishna coming, say, what is his desire now? Is he going to catch, he's looking for someone, or does he have someone? And he's enjoying. Looking from the moon tower, the gopi saw Sri Krishna's ropes of love and became immersed in its wonderful working. Who is he looking for now? Who can satisfy his insatiable desires and pacify his mind, which is ever absorbed in a quest for love? They looked towards Radhika, who strained her lotus eyes to get one last glimpse of Mukunda before he stepped under the canopy of Vrindavan's forest. So then there's one more thing that's left here. All the inhabitants of Braj, the small jasmine creepers that take shelter of the tamal trees, the birds who fly the fragrant skies, the youngest of the calves who suck their mother's milk, know Srimati Radhika is the one and only one who can fully satisfy the mind and senses of Govinda. As he ties down all living entities with his ropes of love, in the same way, the love of Sri Radha binds Krishna and makes him a helpless servant at her lotus feet. So Krishna is out with his ropes to catch someone, but if Radharani gets him, then he's gone. He's tied. He's tied down to her. So she can control Krishna. So consequently, the rope also has another meaning. It indicates Krishna, who is bound by the ropes of the love of his cows, friends, mother, and gopis. As he binds others with his love, so he is bound by the loving affection of his devotees. So it goes two ways, the ropes. He's going to catch somebody, and also it means that he's caught by the love of his devotees. So this is one of his ornaments, one of his decorations that he has every day when he goes out to herd the cows. And we have our Krishna Balaram here. We can go next time and see where are the ropes, and we can understand what is Krishna's desire. He's hunting, and Balaram's desire too, yes? Balaram can also catch people. That's okay. Krishna or Balaram, we're not sectarian here. Krishna or Balaram, Nitai or Gaur. Yes, both of yes? Venugit. Venugit. What I just read was from Venugita by Shivra Maharaj. And he compiled the commentaries in a very poetic way. He's gone through all the commentaries and he has compiled them like that in a very, like in a dramatic way. Very poetic way. Poetic license is there, but we get the idea. And it's very, yes.
I just miss who was Krishna who dressed like Radharani.
Mm-hmm. One time. Yeah, okay. We'll tell that past another one, the pastime of Subal. Everybody knows it? The pastime with Subal? Okay, well, anyway, I'll just tell it in case somebody doesn't know it. You don't know it. Okay, then I will tell the story. You don't know it also. Yeah, well, okay. One time, Radharani was stuck in her house. And Krishna Krishna was on the bank of the Jamuna, I believe, lamenting and with his friend Subal. And he was saying, if I don't see Radharani, I'm going to drown myself in the Jamuna right now. So Subal said, oh, this is very serious. Okay, I must find some way to bring Radharani to you. So Subal went to Yavat, and there was Jatila sitting on the doorstep. And Radharani was inside, she couldn't come out. And so Subal said to Jatila, oh, mother, have you seen my calf? I lost my calf. Is he here? And she said, no, what are you doing here anyway? And so he said, no, my calf is lost. Maybe he's inside, can I go and check? She said, yes, you go. I'm too tired, I just had my lunch. I didn't want to move. She didn't want to move. So he went inside. And there was Radharani, and he met Radharani, and he told her what happened. Krishna is dying to see you. If he doesn't see you, then he's going to kill him, commit suicide in Jamuna. So what they did, they changed clothes. Radharani put Subal's clothes on. Subal put Radharani's clothes on. And he said, you go. Now you're in my clothes. And she said, but I don't look like you. He said, no, you just take one baby calf, and you put him on your chest, and you carry him out like that. And they're the same color, Subal and Radharani. They're both golden color. So, and Jatila is not so, her sight is not that great. She doesn't have that good eyes. She's a bit old, and she can't see properly. So, and the way they get out of their different pastimes is quite amazing. So Radharani, dressed as Subal, came and she was carrying a calf, and she had her kind of covering herself, and so then she in the voice of a cowherd boy, "Yes, mother, I found my calf." So then Jashita said, "Okay, get out of here, quickly, go. You only cause trouble." So meanwhile, Subal is back in there in the house. But so Radharani went and she met Krishna. And then how is Subal going to get out? He's in the dress of Radharani. So then the Sakis come and they call, "Radharani, Radhe, Radhe, let's go visit Surya. I mean, worship Suryadev." So then Subal comes with them, "Yes, yes, I'm coming." And then they all go meet Krishna on the bank of the Jamuna. Yeah, there's different pastimes like that. And one time Jatila, I was just reading somewhere, Radharani was there and Radharani bent over and Krishna's flute fell out of her hair. And what is she going to tell Jatila now? She's caught red-handed. And so she said, "You know, I was wandering on Govardhan and I found this flute and you know, it's giving us so much trouble. I want to get rid of it right now. And that's why I was keeping it. I was hiding it from that Krishna." And so this is, you know, how they get out of, you know, how they lie to Jatila in so many ways. Anyway, these are the pastimes of Krishna. And the cowherd boys play a very prominent role in all of the, in these, even in the affairs with the gopis. They are there. They are the messengers. They bring them together. And so the cowherd boys are also very influential in convincing the gopis to meet Krishna and arranging, even Subal, he arranged that meeting in different funny ways, daring ways. So not only do they play with Krishna, but they also, as it was mentioned in some of the purports here, they were having their tax pastimes and different things. So, yes. Okay, so any questions or comments? Yes. Radhakund? I don't know, actually. This was not at Radhakund. This was on the Jamuna. This, I don't know about Radhakund. I don't know. I haven't heard, so I hesitate to say. Unless I hear something. Yes?
So Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and where does the, you know, in their understanding, where does it end? Because in this world we have Vrindavan, now we have a place, and pastimes go on there. And then we know about places which are beyond that.
Like where?
Sorry?
Like which place?
In this world we know that, you know, a few miles away there's another place, and then a few miles.
That's Braj. It's Braj.
No, I'm talking about this world.
Yeah, in this world there's Braj. It's about 84. What is it called? 84 kroshas? 84 kroshas. Yeah, it's not just Vrindavan, but his pastimes were all of Braj. Nandagram, Barshana. There's a line that goes around. I think, is it Koshi? I think at Koshi.
Do they ever wonder what's beyond that?
Oh, do they ever wonder? No, all they want to do is have Krishna with them. They don't think anything beyond Vrindavan.
I'm thinking that we have different kings over different parts of the world.
Yeah, they know about Kamsa.
But, you know, if Brahma is limited to that, how does it actually tie in, you know?
How does it tie into?
Brahma is just like 84 approaches.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's actually a limited sphere of activities by our calculation. And
right.
We see that in this world there's thousands of kings and there's
in Braj.
Beyond this and there's, you know, so how is it this world is actually sprung from there if they've got everything there? They don't seem to...
Oh, okay, trying to understand.
On that particular pastime.
Mm-hmm.
And either in those four rasas and Shankar.
Right.
So I'm just wondering how in the spiritual world, you know, there's like kings who are...
In Goloka, it's all, Nanda is the only king. Or else Krishna, of course, is the king of Vrindavan and Radharani. But you will get that in Dwaraka, in Ayodhya. In the spiritual world, there's different compartments. There's Goloka, and that's what we're hearing about now. Vrindavan. I mean, no, sorry. Goloka has many departments. So Vrindavan is what we're hearing about now. They know about it because Krishna leaves. I mean, even in the spiritual world, he separates sometimes and goes. There's that separation is there. They experience that separation, as far as I understand, sometimes. From reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita.
In the book of book of
Shri Maharaj, yeah.
There's a demarcation. One is Vrindavan, the other is Shvetadvip.
Yeah, there's Shvetadvip and there's Dwarka and there's Mathura. And I've seen a picture of it, actually. Not only that, there's Vrindavan, there's Dwarka, there's Ayodhya, there's Mathura, there's Ayodhya, and there's Haridam. There's all the Vaikuntha planets, they're all kings. Narayan is the king. But see, here we have so many kings, but because everybody wants to be God. But there's only one king in Vaikuntha, in the Haridam, there is Narayan, is the only king of each planet. Then in Goloka, Krishna is the king, and of course he's not a king. He's not worshipped like a king. In Dwarka, then Krishna is there. And in Mathura, Krishna is there. In Ayodhya, Ram is the king. So we have these things in the spiritual world. And Shvetadvip, Lord Chaitanya, is there. His place in the spiritual world.
So I'm thinking, they must know about this other type of relationship with Krishna then.
Who?
In
they know. Yes, they do know. Well, sometimes we'll see that... But it's like when they're in separation from Krishna, then they talk about it. The gopis will talk about the different incarnations even. Oh, previously you were Ram and you cheated Bali. You killed him by going behind a tree. When they get angry, then they bring back Krishna's previous activities in different incarnations. They are aware, but they are not very... But they see that it's just, okay, that's Krishna acting like that in different ways. They have that awareness, but their love covers it. It's not allowed to predominate. It's not allowed to contaminate their pure love for Krishna. It's not allowed to come in because their love is so strong. Now in Dwarka Lila, the love is not so strong, so therefore these things are like with Kunti Devi. She has maternal love, but at the same time it's mixed. And Devaki and Vasudev, they have this parental love. But... when Krishna, after he killed Kamsa, they were just overwhelmed. They wanted to offer prayers to Krishna. They were going to fold with folded hands. They were there, and then Krishna bewildered them with his yoga maya. And then they took him on their laps, and they were like parents. So there is an awareness of these things, but of the Aishwarya in Vrindavan, but it's immediately defeated by their prema, by their love for Krishna. It cannot stay. It may come in their mind, like a fleeting thought or something, or they may even verbalize it, but it can't stay. And it's all subordinate to their amazing love for Krishna. It's all subordinate. The love is the most important, the strongest power. And then after that comes all these other, this knowledge cannot stay there in the presence of their love. Could be, yeah. Well, we think, what would it be like if I were the center? And now we get the chance to see. What's it like when you're the center? Is it wonderful?
Terrible.
Is it nice? Are you happy? Are you enjoying being the center? Competing with 6 billion other centers in this world for being the center? Now we get the chance to be Krishna. So, no, it doesn't work. Yeah, how it happened, I don't know. But you can see it every day when you're trying to focus on your Krishna conscious activities, and then thoughts come in your mind, and you get bad association. The modes. You can see how to fall down. We studied fall down in cantos 5 and 6. We studied it, all the causes of fall down, why Bharat Maharaj fell down, no association, and different fall downs were there. Why Vaishnava Aparad was the cause of many fall downs. Indra, because of Vaishnava Aparad offending his guru. And so, you don't need to think about why, it happened there. You can think about why it's happening right now. You can analyze, just see your own mind. And you can see how it happens. Gita talks about it, contemplating objects of senses, attachment, from attachment, anger, delusion, bewilderment of memory, intelligence is lost, and bloop, you fall into the pool, material existence. So see, we're now, in one sense, we have become elevated on a higher platform by being devotees. We have a taste of what it means to be in a spiritual world. Sometimes we feel that taste. We're on a liberated platform, actually. So we can just see what it means, and we are with Krishna in some sense or other when we serve him, when we hear about him. But unfortunately, our conditioning takes us away, or just takes us away, and we fall, we go away. Yeah, but this is the only thing. There must be something beyond this, and yeah. So our mind, very, very difficult to overcome. What do you say? Difficult. Yeah. Your question is
I think he meant also geographically.
Geographically?
In contrast, it's all...
How everything could be in this little small place?
Well, I'm just thinking that we can see, because we're starting to imbibe higher knowledge, we're starting to see this world, which is in the fifth canto, and what's beyond it. We're starting to understand these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're understanding beyond that is a spiritual world. And I'm listening from their perspective in the Loka Vrindavan, how they see everything, because it's impossible for them to really get absorbed if they can't actually, you know, contemplate what else is there, that's all. And, because, you know, we start to see our position and it's relative to everything else. So I'm just trying to see how they saw things.
They only see everything related to Krishna. That's all. I mean, they're it's like a Tivrena, it's like a laser. The laser goes one place, it's focused. Whereas our minds are splayed, and we go many, many branches. So they don't have that many branches. They just have one, and it's focused, and it's Krishna. And if Krishna is not there, then everything is void. The world is void. The whole world is void. It's just meaningless for them. It has no meaning. What's the use of everything without Krishna? Yes.
One time they asked to Krishna show Vaikunthe.
We will get that 28th chapter. They'll get that experience of higher things, actually, what's beyond. They will get the experience of merging, they will get the experience of Vaikuntha, and then they will get the experience of Goloka. In chapter 28. It's spiritual. There is no material world there for them. This material world means forgetfulness of Krishna. So that's why they're not interested in the material world, because material world means that there's no Krishna, you can't see Krishna. And this is the worst suffering for anybody of their...
And it's mentioned it's only one in the corner of
some corner, yeah. All the universes.
Yeah.
So for them, you know, they'll be sweeping up the dirt and you say, oh, what's this little speck here? Oh, it's all the universes. Put it in, sweep it out.
Actually, it starts from there. This is just the offshoot of it, isn't it? The material world is just... Like
well, it's part of it.
You know, it's like the upside down tree. Right. We are in the reflection of the upside down trees. So this is not reality. This is reality.
Yeah. Yeah. What is interesting in the reflection?
We are just in the reflection.
That's true. What is interesting are the cloudy part of the sky. What's in the clouds? What's down there? Perhaps we wanted to know what's in those clouds.
Doesn't exist. Nabhava Sato Nabhave Sato, what is it? Nabhava Nada 216.
Nasato. I forgot it.
Asat means it doesn't exist, there is no endurance to it.
No endurance. Asat, no endurance.
In that sense,
And sat is, there's no cessation.
Doesn't last.
Yeah, doesn't last. And so because, I mean, if you have $1 million, you're not going to be interested in 10 rupees. So they've got $1 million. It's included. It's included in that $1 million, but not very interesting. If you have, you know, one little... Yes? Prakat-lila, some covering of Vrindavan.
Is some covering like now?
Because oh, you're asking.
There is no office in Diamond Tree and so on that you were sleeping in another Vrindavan
chamber. Yes. Yogamaya covering. That we'll get more into next year, because when Uddhava, see, when Krishna left Vrindavan, everything was, all the trees dried up, everybody was on the ground, you know, and everybody was fasting. But when Uddhava comes, you'll see a completely different picture. You'll see the cows were in bulls, were chasing the cows, and everybody was singing, and you know, so how is that? You know, you hear two different descriptions. And it's described that the two are going on simultaneously. And everything is, I mean, by the time you'll be completely bewildered after next year, you'll hear all these different, what is the reality and what is the... But the fact is that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And I was just reading, I was studying for next year, Krishna just kills Kamsa and he's sending Nanda back to Vrindavan. And then it's described that Nanda expanded into two expansions. I mean, some commentator, I can't remember, Vishwanath or somebody. And Krishna also, of course, Krishna is there in Vrindavan. And so Nanda in one expansion, he was feeling great separation. Another one, he was with Krishna and having a good time in Vrindavan. So what's really going on will be very difficult to say. It's way beyond. You cannot comprehend. But they are simultaneously with Krishna and without Krishna. So separation is one way they are with Krishna is in separation, and one way they are with Krishna is in the uppercut pastimes. And separate part of separation is that they are in the uppercut with Krishna. And different meanings of uppercut means one is it's in Goloka, in the spiritual world. Another meaning of uppercut is that it's your way, you don't see Krishna externally, but you see him internally. That's another uppercut. So you're in the uppercut, which you're experiencing internally. And they're thinking, or in dreams, the gopis are thinking, oh yes, we had a nice dream, we were with Krishna. And later they meet, and Krishna says, no, it was not a dream. I come there every day, every night to be with you. So it's... Then he sent Uddhava to try to enlighten them, but they weren't very interested in the philosophical explanations of Uddhava. And he learned a lot from them.
It was mostly for them.
Uddhava got purified. Uddhava's pride was crushed. He thought, in Dwarka I'm the best devotee and nobody's like me. But then when he saw the gopis, he understood who is the best devotee. Who are the best devotees? It's very complex, and yes, but the fact is Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, and we just have to see how he never leaves Vrindavan.
Actually, it's
Lalita Madhava, yes.
The Radharani and Gopis, they never remember they met Krishna before. Just yesterday they met Krishna.
Right.
The next day she again lamenting, oh, I never saw Krishna.
Yeah, it's always new.
Always new, yes.
That's what's nice about the pastimes. The cowherd boys, maybe they played one game, then the next day it's like, oh, here's a new game, let's play this game. It's like it's always new.
Refreshing.
New and newer and newer. Yeah, it's very... So by the mercy of the acharyas, we get a glimpse of what is happening in Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan. This is different from all the other cantos. This is something very sweet and very, very different.
And also there's two chambers. There's also Navadvipila.
Yes, Navadvip. That will be postgraduate work.
That
Postgraduate. That is Radharani. Then we will understand Radharani. We cannot understand Radharani now, but when we go to Gaurlila, then we'll understand Radharani. Emotions. Of course, we'll bring some of the Gaurlila into next year's also a little bit, because otherwise we can't understand Radharani and the gopis. It has to be through Lord Chaitanya.
Unlimited. We cannot count.
Yes. And some devotees will go to one place, and some will go to another, and some will go to both. And both places. Yes.
He says that because Lodila is Udaniya. And Vrindavanila is Madhurya. So he says that those who are Udaniya, they have Madhurya also, because if you give something out to someone else, it means you have that.
Yeah. So those who go to Gora will be in both.
Yeah. And he says, conversely, those who are only Madhurya, they may not be able to go to.
Yeah, they may not Udaya. Go to Udaya.
But in one sense, Gorila
tends we to are very fortunate because we are followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis. The six Goswamis are Manjaris. And so we have a good chance to go to Gaurlila and Vrindavan Lila at the same time. Also Srila Prabhupada, by his mercy, he has the key for the back door so we can get in. Otherwise the front door is very difficult to enter. We have to go in the back door. Yes? What is the back door? The back door you will find out if you follow Srila Prabhupada.
That
you have to. Back door means without qualification. Front door means qualification. You did. You followed all the rules. You became a perfect sadhaka, and you know. And but if you back door means you don't exactly have everything. You know, there might be a few defects and flaws there, but Prabhupada said so. Okay, come in. Not with Prabhupada. Prabhupada wasn't like a tree. You think he was Shantaras? If it's Prabhupada's back door, maybe somebody else's back door. But Prabhupada's back door, he was a lion. Prabhupada was not a Shantarasa. Bhakta. Yes. Yeah, nishta, yeah. That's true. Prabhupada said that. You come at least to nishta, mode of goodness, and he will get us. He will do the rest. He will give us an extra discount. To go. We just have to, but we have to be faithful to Prabhupada. Faithfully follow him, and then wherever he goes, and then one day we'll find ourselves in Goloka Vrindavan. Okay, so tomorrow you will meet one demon, again, disguised as a cowherd boy. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.